It is Washington's Mall on WMAL. In for Larry and Brian, my name is Dan Mandis. Appreciate you being here. Went ahead right to Peter Brooks, Senior Fellow for National Security Affairs and also columnist for the Boston Herald. Peter, always appreciate having you on WMAL. Let's get right to it. The investigation into the terror attacks in Germany continues. Now, over the past 24 to 48 hours, we have now found out that this guy, Anis Amri, the guy who ran over dozens and killed 12, actually did sneak in and pretended to be an underage Syrian refugee. Now, Angela Merkel wants to speed up the deportation of Tunisian refugees. But Tunisia, as I've been talking about on the show this morning, Tunisia doesn't necessarily want these guys back. So how does Germany deal with this, and how does Tunisia deal with all of these refugees that Germany wants to get rid of and send back home?
Well, Tunisia's got a bigger problem, Dan, than just the ones that Germany wants to return to Tunisia. I mean, it's been kind of common knowledge for quite some time that since the Arab Spring started in 2011, that Tunisia, the numbers are accurate. Tunisia looks like it has the most number of foreign fighters who traveled to Iraq and Syria to work with the Islamic State. I've seen some numbers that say that there's probably 800 to 1,000 of them have already returned to Tunisia from fighting overseas, and there may be as many as 5,000 more of them abroad right now that may at some time return. And of course, the connection between this terrorist in Germany and some family members in Tunisia has Tunisia on alert as well, and some members of the elite in Tunisia are calling to not allow any of these folks to be returned, including ones that went to Iraq and Syria. So they've got a significant sort of problem. They've arrested three people that may have been related in some way to the terrorist attack in Germany. So yeah, they're very concerned, and this has been a concern for quite some time, whether you're talking about the United States or other countries, especially Europe, because of the number of people that have traveled overseas, become foreign fighters or supporters or followers of the Islamic State. And as pressure is put on the Islamic State in places like Iraq and Syria, especially Iraq and Mosul, these folks may decide to return home and then, put into action the Islamic State's ideology, which includes violence.
Now, just before the holidays, we saw Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump exchanging words on nuclear plans, and Trump even tweeted out that the United States must, quote, strengthen our nuclear capability, and then says, quote, let it be an arms race, and this obviously has folks concerned. Now, his aides are saying he was only talking about modernizing. What did you make of the back and forth between Putin and Trump, and how outdated is our nuclear capabilities?
Well, there is a strong concern in some corners, including with myself, about the modernization of our nuclear capabilities. This is something that's atrophied. It's been drawn down. Remember, President Obama with Russia concluded the New START, which was the new Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty. And unfortunately, under that treaty, the United States, that reduction only applied to the United States. The Russians were actually able to build up under that New START treaty, and they have. And so there's a concern that not only are we being potentially outpaced by the Russians in terms of nuclear weapons, which the Russian military doctrine relies on heavily, and of course there's been very difficult and tense relations between the United States and Russia during this period, but the United States' arsenal is getting old. It's atrophying, and there's a concern that our nuclear deterrent, the thing that keeps us safe, the idea that if you shoot something at us, we'll shoot something back at you, even more terrible, could be crumbling. And we have to worry about this. This is not just about Russia, Dan. This is about North Korea. I mean, it didn't come up in the conversations, but North Korea has nuclear weapons, as we know. They've had five tests. Four of those under the Obama administration. There's a lot of capability out there, and I think you and I have talked about it before. A lot of capability out there is developing, and we're, squarely in the crosshairs. That's the issue here. They're developing a plethora of different range ballistic missiles that are nuclear capable. They believe that they're miniaturizing the engineering rig that they use, that they've been using to test underground. They claim that they tested a hydrogen bomb, which is thousands of times more powerful than an atomic bomb. I think people are skeptical of that, but that means that they have that. I think it means they have that ambition, which worries me because they have been making progress. They can range our forces on the Korean Peninsula in Japan. They now have a missile called the Musudan that can range Guam. Our forces there, and it's believed that on a limited basis that they could actually reach perhaps the west coast, the central part of the United States. But they are also putting their, if you can believe this, their intercontinental ballistic missiles on mobile launchers, which makes it much more difficult for us to take them out if necessary. You can put these missiles on a launcher, a mobile launcher, a transporter erector launcher, they call them a TEL, and you could put it in a cave somewhere. And the North Koreans are prolific tunnelers. And you can move it around and play this sort of shell game. And this makes it much more difficult because they're much more survivable. They're becoming increasingly lethal. And of course, China is also modernizing their nuclear arsenal significantly. They're sending their nuclear deterrent to sea. You know, we have a triad, Dan. We have silos, land-based silos. We have nuclear weapons aboard submarines, fleet ballistic missile submarines, and then we also have the capability to deliver them by air. So the Chinese originally just had land-based silos. Now they're moving, right, sending them to sea, which makes it much more difficult. So there's a lot of challenges out there for us, and we need to be up to those challenges.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Peter Brookson, thank you very much for joining us. 2017 is going to be a very interesting conversation as it relates to modernizing our nuclear forces. I appreciate you spending time with us on this day after Christmas. Peter Brooks with the Heritage Foundation and also the Boston Herald. It is Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.